Jim and Carol were worried sick because they hadn't heard from their daughter Linda, who was attending University of California, Berkeley. And they hadn't heard in weeks and weeks, and which was unusual. So, you know, when you haven't heard, your imagination gets the worst of you, and sometimes our imagination is way worse than reality, and their thoughts kind of got out of control, and they're worried out of their brains because they hadn't heard. Finally, a letter came in the mail. And the letter said, "Mom and Dad, I know you haven't heard from me for a long time. Life has just been so full. I have really great news. You're going to be grandparents. Unfortunately, I've had to drop out of school to plan for the baby, but I can't wait for the baby's father, Bob, to be with us once he gets out of jail. You're going to really love Bob. You know, I know tattoos and body piercing are not your thing, but Bob is a great guy, and you're going to love him. And the commune that we're now living at, the leader of the commune is going to marry us someday, and we're hoping that you can be there. Gotta go. I'll write soon." So you can imagine. You know, they're beyond themselves, and they're ready to get in the car and drive to California and see what's going on, and they're just worried sick about what's going on. And the next day another letter came. "Mom and Dad, there is no baby. There is no Bob. I'm still in school, but I did get 2 D's and an F. And I wanted to make sure you kept things in their proper perspective." You know, it is so easy to lose a sense of perspective. It is so easy in our minds to lose a sense of perspective. I want to offer this prayer. Gracious and holy God, startle us with your presence, that we might be present in a whole new way. Amen. A traveler came upon 3 stonemasons, and the traveler asked the stonemasons the same question: "What are you doing?" Well, the first stonemason seemed tired and seemed disinterested in his task, and he said, "You know, it's hot, and I'm just polishing this stone marble. It's kind of boring." The second stonemason actually seemed really stressed out, seemed exhausted. It was the burning sun, and, "What are you doing?" And sarcastically, this stonemason said, "Well, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm preparing a foundation." The third stonemason, doing back-breaking work and the sweat pouring from the brow in the hot sun. But this mason just beamed with joy and enthusiasm, because he said, "I'm building a cathedral, and I can already see it." You know, I'm convinced that the stress we experience at times may not be so much what we're doing, but losing sight of why we're doing what we're doing in the first place. Friedrich Nietzsche said, isn't it fantastic that you can quote Friedrich Nietzsche in church? He said, the person who has a why can bear almost any what or how. You know, I think of when my father died a couple years ago from Alzheimer's, and I went to be with him and had the sacred honor and holy privilege of being present to him for the last 3 days of his life before he transitioned to more life. That even though he didn't seem to know who I was able to be with him. Now, on the surface, excruciatingly painful. But my purpose was clear. I wanted to make sure my father was surrounded with unconditional love.
and held in light as he transitioned into the light. And just having that clear sense of purpose that I wanted to hold him and just love him as best that I could love him. That why gave me a strength that was clearly beyond my own strength. Which gets back to, why did you get up this morning? Hold that. Why did you get up this morning? Let me ask you, if you had your life to live over again, if I could wave my magic wand, what would you do differently? That question was posed, believe it or not, to 1,000 people over the age of 90. If you had your life to live over again, what might you do differently? Obviously, a variety of answers to that question, but the two most frequent responses, two were more frequent than any others. And the most frequent response, if I had to live my life over again, I would be much less troubled. In other words, I wouldn't sweat the small stuff. I'd keep things in perspective. I want to read today's scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. What do you think? If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, you know, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach. Remember that Thursday. There's far more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Remember that at 4 a.m. Friday. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, carefree in the care of God. And you count far more than the birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of a mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted, do you think it makes much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk into the fields. Look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best men and the 10 best women in the country look shabby alongside these wildflowers. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think God will attend to you? Don't you think God will take pride in you, do God's very best for you? And Jesus said, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way God works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how God works. Steep your life in God reality. Steep your life in God initiative. God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. You know, I think today Jesus would have simply said, don't sweat the small stuff. And for the most part, it's all small stuff. And those things that aren't small stuff, and there are things that aren't small stuff. Absolutely, every single day we face things that aren't small stuff. Worrying doesn't help. You might need a different plan.
You know, I have a time, there's something called the time warp exercise that I find really helpful. The time warp exercise says, whatever you're stressed out about, whatever you're kind of, that's weighing you down, whatever you're worried about, imagine 1 year from now. Are you with me here? So whatever that is, imagine 1 year from now. Will it matter in a year's time? Will it really matter 1 year from now? And if it won't matter a year from now, maybe it's not that important today. The things that are most important are always at the mercy of the things that are least important. And if it will matter in a year from now, and some things will, and some things should, maybe you need a different approach than worry. So the people over 90, when they said, if I had my life to live over again, I wouldn't expend that precious life energy worrying. I would invest that energy in more important things. The second most frequent response to that question, if I had my life to live over again, I would stop the busyness of life and think about the business of living more often. I'd think about, what am I living for? When's the last time you asked yourself, whether you're 30 or 103, what is the purpose of my life? When's the last time you actually stopped and asked yourself that? It's amazing how that question in some ways can change your perspective. Can take you away from those less important things to really what is of ultimate importance. The saying is the two most important days of your life are the day you're born and the day you discover why you were born. No, I actually think that's something that happens every day. Every day, in some ways, we have to discover and recover and rediscover why we're born. Is there more to life than just surviving? Is there more to life than just kind of getting through, checking off our to-do list? Is there something deeper? You know, is there this spirit, again, as we are present to this spirit, does this spirit seek to change the way we are present in the world? My favorite quote, you've heard it 1,000 times from me, from George Bernard Shaw, the true joy in life is being my purpose before I leave here. 20 years from now, is that as I begin to quote George Bernard Shaw, you will join me. The true joy in life is being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one. Being a force of nature. I would add, being a force of God's love, being a conduit of God's Spirit, being an agent of God's grace, rather than a selfish, feverish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world doesn't devote itself to making you happy. What a difference it makes when you bring a sense of purpose to your day. December 17th, 1903, Samuel Langley walked away from everything. Now, Samuel Langley was in the hot pursuit of being the first one to design the flying human machine. You know, what we call an airplane. Now, Samuel Langley was a graduate of Harvard University. He had a lot of money. Somehow he convinced the War Department to invest $50,000 in his crazy design. $50,000 in 1903. He worked for the Smithsonian. So the brightest and the best were part of his team trying to create this whole thing. He was super well connected. The New York Times followed him everywhere he went, waiting for his next invention. How many of you have heard of Samuel Pierpont Langley? About five of you. Do you know why? Because about 300 miles west, Wilbur and Orville Wright in Dayton, Ohio, they had a dream. Their dream was to change the world by transporting people in the air.
Now, Wilbur and Orville were broke. They funded their dream by the feeble sales from their bike shop. They had a bike shop. And they themselves and no one on their team had a college education. And the not only the New York Times weren't following them. No one knew who they were. But on December 17th, 1903, after years of nosedives and failures, Wilbur and Orville's dream became a reality. The flying machine, the flying human machine, took flight. Now, when word traveled 300 miles east to Samuel Langley, he quit. He didn't want to go meet Wilbur and Orville. He wasn't curious, well, how did they do it? I couldn't do it. How did they do it? He didn't think, well, maybe I can add what I've learned in my research to what they have done to improve their accomplishment. No, the reports are he gave it all away. Because everyone reported that Samuel Langley was pursuing wealth and fame. Not a dream larger than himself. And when someone else did it first, he became defeated, and the reports say extraordinarily depressed. Now, there's a leadership expert by the name of Simon Sinek who contrasts these two stories of Samuel Langley and Wilbur and Orville with a study of that resiliency. What is that strength of spirit that allows you to rise above the challenges, the difficulties, the frustrations, the stresses of life? What is that? And he observed something he called the golden circle. So if we could look at the golden circle. And he said most people begin their day and end their day like Langley outside the circle. They start outside the circle. I mean, Langley knew, for the most part, what he was trying to do. And he had a vague notion how to do it. But he had no why. He had no why that was greater than wealth and fame. He had no why that was greater than himself. And so when the what and the how became difficult, when the what and the how faced the inevitable challenges and problems and stress, he walked away. He became defeated, even depressed. And Sinek says most people begin outside the circle. And he said resilient people start with why. Resilient people start inside the circle with a powerful sense of why. Wilbur and Orville had a dream. Their dream was to change the world through transporting people by air. And so Sinek observes those who have this strength of spirit, those who have this resiliency, start from the inside out. They focus on the why and trust the what and the how will come. I mean, Jesus, back to our scripture. I hate these. I had it. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. To not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. And then Jesus says, steep your life in God. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about the what and the how. It's almost it's like Jesus saying, don't get lost in the what and the how, that you lose that powerful sense of why in each day. People of faith, Christians, people of faith, we are people called to live from the inside out, to get up in the morning with a sense of why, to be present in the world in a particular way, not just any way. Anne Lamott, one of my heroes of faith, she wrote a book, many books. I love her book called Plan B, because she says everybody has Plan A. Plan A is where you try to control the outcome of your life. You know, you're with me there. And she says Plan A never works, so we always have to resort to Plan B. And at the time that she wrote this particular book, she said she was the mother of a teenage son who she was in constant conflict with. She was pretty depressed about a recent election and the war in Iraq. She had an extremely bad back. She described herself as going through menopause. She was extraordinarily fearful and anxious and nervous and worried about the state of her life and the state of her world. She said, quote, "My life was out of control." So she went to a spiritual director friend of hers, and she unloaded all of her discouragements on her friend. And her friend listened and said, "Anne, dear Anne, try this. Walk. Breathe. And when you breathe, know that God's breath is present in every breath. Be present to the gift of every moment and be kind." And that was it. So she was going, "Well, that's a lot of help." And she went to the grocery store and she's like, "Okay, what was that again? All right. Walk. I'm walking the aisles. Breathe. Okay, breathe. God is present in every breath. Breathe. Be present. Okay, I'm here. Now. I'm here now. Be kind. There are shoppers. I'll smile." So she did that, and she went to the checkout counter, and as she was checking her stuff out, the cashier said, "Hey! You're our 1,000th customer! You get a free ham!" And she looked up and said, "I asked for help and I get a ham. I don't even like ham." Okay, I'm supposed to be kind. So she did the best she could to pretend to be excited about her ham. And as she put the ham in her cart and she was going out to her car, she was so distracted, her head was down, and she ran into this old car that was backing up. And she looked up and she realized it was an old friend of hers. And the friend rolled down the window and said, "How are you?" And her friend just burst into tears. She said, "My life's falling apart. I don't know what to do. I don't have any money. I can't even buy my kids food. I can't get gas to get to work." Anne reached into her purse and just instinctively gave her all the money she had, which made her friend cry even more, out of a sense of gratitude. And then Anne said, Do you and your kids like ham?" And she reached in the cart, because she said, "Yeah, we love ham." So she reached in the cart and gave her the ham. But I love how she described it. She said, "My friend held that ham like it was bread from the table. Like it came directly from God. And she put it in the seat next to her. I swear to God, I thought she was going to strap it in." And Anne said, "My energy totally shifted. Plan A wasn't working. You know, Plan A, trying to control the outcomes. So I tried Plan B, to breathe, to be present, to be kind." You know, that why doesn't necessarily have to be grand. It could be as simple as being kind. This week is Thanksgiving. My guess is more than a few of you are caught up in the what and the how.
What am I going to buy? How am I going to find time to buy it? How am I going to get the house ready for all of the guests that might be coming? How am I going to survive this particular holiday with the kids home? How am I going to survive my family? Some of you might be going, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive being alone? It's so easy to get caught up into the what and the how. What if starting today and every day to Thursday, we went inside the circle? Why? What if I just focused on breathing? Being present to the gift of every moment. Just being kind. Let the rest take care of itself. Being kind. And being grateful. It may actually change your day. It may change somebody else's day. You can't have your life over again. But you have today. May you be present and allow the Spirit to change the way that you are present to the world. May it be so.